When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Welcome to Stuff You Should Know from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Josh Clark. There's Charles W. Chuck Bryant, and there's Jerry Rowland. So this is Stuff You Should Know, Scratching Edition.
Yeah, this is one of many.
You remember when we did yawning?
Yeah.
Well, that's the only one I can think of where just researching something makes you do the thing you're researching. This definitely happened with this one.
Yeah, well, we ran across that and poison ivy and scabies for sure.
Oh, yeah.
And talked about some of this stuff, but I think itch. We had an itch we needed to scratch.
Yeah.
With this particular topic.
Well, I'm glad. I've been wanting to do this one for a while.
Yeah, you did a video about this, right?
Yes.
A short video.
No, it was 3-4 hours long.
Okay.
If I remember correctly.
Does that mean we have to do this? Do I have to be here for the next 4 hours?
Yeah, we have to just play the whole thing, and then we'll talk about it for an hour
that
after.
That sounds good.
Okay. I think it was a brain stuff video, wasn't it?
Yeah, I watched it.
Did it scratch your itch?
Yeah, I watched it yesterday.
Oh, okay.
Nice work.
Thank you very much.
You're just like...
Now we finally arrive at what I was after.
Compliment?
Yeah.
No, it was great.
Thanks, man. So I guess the point of all that is to say you're going, right? My videos are the best. That you're going to scratch. You're going to feel an itch, which is one of the great mysteries of itches. It turns out we only very, very recently have started to get a handle on what itches are.
Yeah.
And there's still plenty of mysteries left to it. Like, for example, it's bizarre, and there's really no evolutionary reason, as far as anyone can tell, why just hearing about itches or seeing someone else scratch can make you itch.
Right.
That's odd. That's weird.
Like, or seeing a video of an ant crawling up an arm will make you itch.
It will. But I mean, think about it. If somebody is sitting there, you see a video of some schmo who's got his hand like near an oven and he pulls it away really quick. It doesn't hurt your hand. It doesn't make you feel like
burning. Your
hand is burned.
Nah.
That doesn't happen.
I don't even think that would excite mirror neurons like a leg break would.
No. You're just like, what a stupid idiot. That's what it excites.
Yeah.
You know? I hope that guy's hand just burns clean off. That's what I think, right?
Right.
Yeah.
You sourced a couple of, well, we had our own article on HowStuffWorks.com.
Yeah.
But you also sent this great New Yorker article, written by Dr. Atul Gawande.
One of the best names in writing today.
Yeah, that may be my new hotel name.
Well, you may be thronged by science,
right?
Science fans, because that guy's pretty well known.
Actually, I've never used an alias at a hotel. That's dumb. And I don't even know if you can you? I guess if you're a big shot, you can.
Yeah, but you have to be like, I'm not Brad Pitt. I'm Atul Gawande.
Right. we'll get to some of the, more interesting aspects of that article later, specifically a very specific patient that's quite distressing.
So calm down for now, Atul's mom.
But
we'll get to it eventually.
He did include a couple of neat historical tidbits. Like in 1660, and Germans are all over this thing for some reason.
Yeah.
You know, researchers, that they're all German.
They had the itch to explain the itch.
I guess so.
Yeah.
The itch.
Right.
But there was a physician in 1660 named Samuel Hoffenreffer. Actually, that's my new hotel name.
Yeah, it is.
That's a good one. He kind of, well, he defined it by saying an itch is an unpleasant sensation that provokes the desire to scratch. Pretty simple.
Yeah.
But right on the money.
It is. And actually, it's so on the money that anywhere you look in the medical literature, whenever they define itch, word for word, that's the definition they use.
The Hoffenreffer?
Yeah. Although poor Hoffenreffer doesn't get credit for it all the time, but that's the one. The only expansion of that I've seen is that can occur anywhere on the body, which apparently is true.
I think Hoffenreffer, he felt that was implied.
Right.
You know?
Like, it goes without saying.
Yeah.
I'm scratching right now, by the way. Yeah, started.
I don't know if I just noticed more, because as I was doing it, I was thinking, well, now I'm scratching. Then I thought, do I always scratch this much or itch this much?
Oh, I hadn't thought about that. I'm pretty sure that I don't think I scratch as much as, I don't know. You raise a really good question.
Maybe we can get an intern to follow us around and just record our scratching.
Right. I'm surprised that that's not already a TV show, frankly.
Josh and Chuck scratch.
Just being followed around.
Yeah. Oh.
You know?
No one wants to see that.
Well, that's probably why it's not.
You're scratching.
See, that's what I'm saying. I don't think I scratch this much.
I don't notice it. All right, moving on. To Dante's Inferno. It was in Dante's Inferno, the burning rage of fierce itching that nothing could relieve is how falsifiers were punished.
Yeah, do you know what a falsifier is?
Us?
isn't that... That's somebody who bears false witness, or somebody who falsifies a document, or
I don't know. Is it just a fancy name for liar?
Maybe.
Oh, I thought you were going to tell me. You were just wondering.
Yeah, I don't know.
All right. Well, I don't know what Dante meant, but they're bad people.
Sure. Apparently, there's a special place in hell for him. Literally. Well, I guess actually not literally.
Figuratively.
Sure. Literarily.
Oh, very nice. So itching, scientifically is known as, pruritus. P-R-U-R-I-T-I-S.
Yeah.
It's one of those tough to pronounce things, for me at least. Actually, they still believe that the evolution of the itch was to help humans, survive, basically, because so many things that can kill you, in nature, or things like mosquitoes or flies
right.
or spiders or fleas
yeah.
that can have like malaria or the plague or any number of diseases attached to their tiny little insect bodies.
Right.
So, hey, human, you've got a mosquito on your neck that could kill you. You might want to slap it or scratch.
Yeah. And that's still, as far as I know, the evolutionary hypothesis for why we experience itching.
Yeah.
And it's not just us either.
Well, you're scratching like crazy now.
Yeah. It's found throughout the animal kingdom, from us to apparently fish have shown scratching behavior.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Fruit flies.
How does a fish scratch, you might ask?
It rubs up against rocks.
Yeah. It's kind of cute.
It is a little cute.
It's like, I remember my dad did like the, who was the bear in Jungle Book? Was that Baloo?
Yes.
He would do the Baloo where he would get up against a tree or a wall.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then I did it. Probably because of that. I'm sure that's where I got it and realized that it works. And I still do it every now and then.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I look kind of silly, but...
Do you sing while you do it?
Yeah. The Bear Necessities?
Right.
That's still my favorite.
What else are you going to sing? Like Mambo number 5?
I'm going to start doing that, actually. You'd be like, I think something's wrong with Chuck.
Yeah.
So like you said, though, it was up until almost... Well, was it 1987, the mid to late 80s?
Yeah.
That another German, H.O. Handwerker, and his gang
sure.
of toughs, they started to do actual, research about it. They were puzzled and wanted to solve it.
Right, because up to this point, up to actually 1987, everyone thought that an itch was just a low-grade pain stimulus.
Yeah, I guess they were
pain
just
sensation.
Happy with that.
That's just what they thought it was.
Yeah.
And Handwerker said, you know what? Let's find out if this is actually true. I'm tired of sitting around just assuming this is fine.
Right.
I'm Handwerker. And he got to work with his hands, testing this, right?
Wow.
So what he, I know that was like Jonathan Strickland level puns. What he did was, this is just awful.
Yeah.
He introduced using like, electrical stimulation, I guess. He introduced histamine to skin cells, right? And histamine is a natural, I don't know if it's a protein, but it's a natural,
it's a compound.
Natural chemical, right?
Yeah.
That the body releases, in response to certain stimuli, say, for example, like a mosquito bite or something, and it triggers the, inflammation and immune response in that area, right? Yeah. So, histamine is associated with itch, and it had been for a very long time. So this guy was using electrical stimulation to introduce histamine in increasing amounts in these poor study participants. And it went from barely noticeable to, this is a quote, the maximum imaginable itch. And they never felt pain.
Yeah, like even though they ramped it up to 11, no one ever said, like, holy crap, that hurts.
They said, please, please, for the love of God, stop. Let me out of this. And Handwerker just cackled and cackled.
Wow.
Right. And these men with, like, black leather gloves were holding the participants down.
Yeah, they said, this is not worth the 5 Deutschmarks that I'm getting for this lousy study.
Yeah, that's nice, man. This would have been pre-Euro, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Even though the EU was around, I don't think the Euro was around in 87, right?
No, no. Because
in the 90s?
I traveled to Europe in 1997, and I was still on all that weird money.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it was a while after that. So now scientists, I think this sort of introduced an itch to the scientific community, because after hundreds and hundreds of years, Handwerker sort of disrupted the thought process of the itch and the scratch.
Right.
And all of a sudden scientists were like, oh, well, maybe we should start looking into this. Maybe we can actually isolate the nerve and figure this thing out.
Yeah. Because I mean, if it's not just a low level pain sensation, then that means it's its own thing. And if it's its own thing, it probably has its own system and we need to know more about it. So they got to study in it.
Yeah. I wonder if all of this was under the notion that they were trying to cure itching.
I don't know, because from what I was reading, and all of this was pretty recent stuff.
Yeah.
There is a real unmet medical need in dealing and addressing like chronic itch.
Sure.
Because, you know, most people who go through life just experiencing itch under normal circumstances, right? Like say you or me, we're like an itch. Yeah. They suck for a second and then it goes away.
Yeah.
Imagine it not going away ever, whether you're asleep or awake or, swimming or in outer space or doing whatever.
Yeah.
You're itching constantly. Supposedly it has as much of a pronounced effect on a patient's life, as chronic pain does. It's constant, persistent and agonizing, and it's not being met or treated because it's not understood. So they're just now starting to get into pain or itch research.
Yeah.
I saw, that somebody put it where pain research was about 20 years ago. So it's starting to really heat up, but we're still just starting to understand it. So I would think that they weren't looking to cure it. I think it was just pointed out that there was this whole branch of neuroscience that was totally not understood. So get to work, neurologists.
I never really thought about it until just now, but I wonder what happens when a performer or somebody like that is in the public eye or on TV or on stage or like the president giving a address. Like what do they do if they have poison ivy or some other kind of contact dermatitis? Like, have you ever thought about that? Like, what if Lin-Manuel Miranda has like a really bad case of I guess they can get an understudy in that case.
Sure.
But you can't have an understudy as president.
No.
Which is too bad.
You just go out there with your hands bandaged up, just holding them up.
Like, how do you fight that?
Poison ivy.
On camera. Thing. Or like a news anchor when they're just like, oh my God, I'm dying.
I don't know.
I guess a news anchor can tape things. But I'm talking about live. What does Tom Petty do, for God's sakes?
Tom Petty grins and bears it. He had a hard scrabble childhood.
He sure did.
Prepared him for that.
I'm going to see him tomorrow night.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Tell him I said about
that. We're meeting for coffee.
Nice.
He's not performing. Anyway, I was just curious about that.
Well, it's a good question.
Thanks.
Do you remember when Costas had red eye at the Olympics and he was so dedicated to, to being the commentator, the anchor for the Olympics? They finally were like, you have to stop. Yeah. And no one can look at you.
People
anymore.
Are writing in. You're disgusting them.
It was gross.
One thing that made me think of that is I had, recently, you can still kind of see it on my forearm, the scars, but I did a cement job. I was building this fence, putting in a gate at my house.
All right.
And, Scotty, you know Scotty.
Sure.
He and I built, huh?
Pippin.
Not Scotty Pippin. He and I built this, thing together and we sank these huge posts for this gate. And I didn't know that cement, could cause contact dermatitis or even burns.
Mm.
Never knew this.
Yeah.
And we were, it was kind of a tight spot and we couldn't get shovels in there in the hole. So we were literally mixing this stuff like up to our elbows with our arms. And I was like, this kind of feels good. I even said, you know, like oatmeal or something. And then 2 days later, my right arm was just covered in the nastiest dermatitis I've ever seen.
Wow.
And then he got it. Yeah. It's still like kind of hanging around. So I went and got, a prescription for steroids, which made me a little crazy for a week and a half.
Okay. Trash the gate and have to start over?
No.
Roid rage?
I think I was probably not the best husband, though.
I see.
Over that time period.
Yeah.
Judging from Emily saying, hey, you're a real a-hole. Get off the steroids.
Gotcha. Get off the juice.
And I was like, shut up!
Watch me hit this homer.
So, long story short, I experienced this recently, and it was awful, and I can't imagine, like, shooting a TV show or something, or, like, doing anything on or performing live.
Yeah.
Like, I would have to address it because I would scratch and smack it was what I usually do.
That's what you're supposed to do, not scratch.
Smack
I guess
it?
We'll just cut to the chase here. This is why everyone's listening. How do you scratch an itch correctly? You rub it.
Yeah, I didn't do well, I did. You know what really did it was the we have a handheld implement in the shower along with the regular shower head.
Okay, yeah.
And put that sucker on the tightest, hardest, most penetrating flow.
Right.
And just put that hot water on it, man. And that was like, I think I spent half my days in the shower.
Yeah.
Over that week and a half.
Were you biting down like a broomstick while you were doing that?
No, it felt so good, man. I was just like, I couldn't get enough of it.
Huh.
And then the cortisone and all that junk too.
So, we'll talk about this because this, you're raising some great points here.
Well, I just kind of, did I ruin the spoiler?
No, this is good stuff. We're going to analyze what was going on with your arm after this break. How about that?
Sounds good.
All right, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. Because in Monopoly Go, you can team up with your friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. It's very nice.
That's right. And the more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock. And there's so much to get. I'm talking about unique stickers that you can trade with friends to complete albums for big prizes, cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with, or hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults.
Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges, like digging for treasure or a robot pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
That's right. There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it now for free on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
So, Chuck, you had contact dermatitis, right?
I thought it was poison ivy because that area has some poison ivy.
Uh-huh.
But each of us, Scotty and I, had it just on the arm that
right.
we sunk in cement.
Right.
And then we researched and found out that could happen.
Yeah. So lesson learned on that.
Yeah.
So what happened was something in the cement, and I'm not sure what it was, reacted chemically with the mast cells in your skin.
Yeah.
And histamine was released, right?
Apparently.
And so the histamine sent a signal through specialized nerve cells called C fibers.
Yeah, which C fibers aren't just limited to itching. I think only about 5% handle that, and
right.
most of the rest are for pain.
Right, right. So they use the same type of neural pathway as pain, but for itch, it's basically it's just like, no, these are just for itches only.
Yeah.
And it sent a signal through your spinal column. And in your spinal column, it released a neurotransmitter called gastrin-releasing peptide receptor. And so at the skin, the histamine would have released a neurotransmitter called what?
Natriuretic polypeptide B.
Okay. So that says itch signal coming your way along those C fibers.
Yes.
Okay. It makes it to the spinal column. And I guess in about 2007, they found that there's another neurotransmitter in the spine that I guess, accepts the NPPB.
The invitation.
And says, I'm going to transfer this along up to the brain. That's gastrin releasing peptide receptor. That shoots up to the brain and it starts this cascade of activity, right?
Yeah.
Because when they, like after Handwerker said, hey, you know, itching's its own thing.
Uh-huh.
These other researchers went to town and traced and figured out that there were specific types of itch receptors that were dedicated just to itches,
yeah,
right?
More Germans.
More Germans.
And Swedes. A
couple of Swedes, but mostly Germans.
Just for good measure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what they found eventually from tracing this pathway, they were able to follow it into the Wonder Machine. And apparently they made some people itch and would not let them scratch it. And then they had them lay down in an MRI and they took a brain scan and they found that there's this whole galaxy of stuff going on in your brain that combined is the itch sensation.
Yeah, it was pretty interesting too. There's a signature pattern in the brain when you get an itch, and a few specific areas light up. One is a cortex, and it all makes sense when you put it together.
Right.
The cortex, in this case, just sort of geolocates where on your body you're getting that sensation.
Right.
So that helps.
It's like left elbow.
Yeah, or in my case, from right elbow to wrist. And then a little bit in other places, but not too bad. That was the main area.
Is this your cortex still saying this?
Yeah. Very complex conversation going on. And then the region, I thought this was interesting. The region that governs emotional response.
Mm-hmm.
So basically this is your brain saying like, I don't like this. This makes me feel bad.
Yeah. It's the worst thing ever. Do something.
And then finally the limbic and motor areas. And I thought this was the most interesting. Those areas process irresistible urges, the same ones that say, I want to smoke crack or I want to eat too much cake.
Right.
Says you have an itch that is unbearable and you need to scratch it.
Right. And maybe go smoke some crack and eat some cake while you're at it.
Cause that'll help.
Right.
So I thought that was all very super interesting when you combine that pattern.
Yeah. That's an itch and then followed by the irresistible urge to scratch it, which apparently research has shown. Those two do not happen independently. They're part of a cycle.
Yes.
There's something called the itch scratch cycle, right? And so you have an irresistible urge to scratch the itch. It's weird if you think about it. Like on the one hand, it makes sense where you sense that there's a really hot heat source that your hand is really close to.
Uh-huh.
So you have an irresistible urge to pull it back. But it doesn't feel like an urge. It almost feels like an involuntary reflex.
Yeah, I think it's that quick.
A scratch is almost like, I'm going to kill this itch. I can't wait to scratch it. Like, you're almost exacting revenge on the itch for itching you, right? So a scratch is, it's an irresistible urge, whereas like pulling your hand back from a hot source or something is like an involuntary reflex. It just feels different. Like a scratch is its own thing.
Well, it is, you know, they kind of found that out. And Gawande, Dr. Gawande, pointed out something interesting too that I never thought about, is that you can have like that short collar rubs against your neck all day,
right,
and you might never notice it. But if there's like one little string that's just poking one little area, that might trigger an itch.
Right. And so you would think that, you know, itch receptors are super finely tuned and they cover just this one tiny, like,
that's what it would seem like,
micron of skin. As a matter of fact, no. Apparently an itch receptor can sense itch stimuli like 3 inches away from it on the skin.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So they're really sensitive.
Yeah. Whereas pain receptors are that specific.
Right.
Down to like, you know, millimeters.
Yeah.
And the other thing they found out too is that not only can they sense it from a few inches away, but it's a very slow acting thing.
Right.
Which, as opposed to like heat on the hand, like a candle on your hand, almost a candle in the wind. that's super fast, but, that explains why an itch, like, is kind of slow to come and then slow to resolve by scratching.
Yeah.
It's not like you scratch it and you're like, oh, it's all better now.
Yeah.
It helps a little bit.
So the itching is it's a good strategy if you think about, say there's a mosquito on you and that's what's making you itch. When you go to scratch it, you're getting rid of the mosquito, maybe even smushed it or something like that. The problem's taken care of. The issue is that itch scratch cycle eventually becomes a vicious cycle, because when you scratch, this is what they think is going on. This is another mystery with itches. We don't understand how scratching alleviates an itch.
Right.
Or why we scratch, really, right? What they think, the current hypothesis, is that when you scratch an itch, you're stimulating other receptors in the area that aren't itch receptors.
Yeah, so I got that, but what does that do? Just sort of like say, hey, body, don't worry about that for a minute.
Like, I think so.
A pain receptor is now active.
Right, exactly. It's sending feedback to the brain saying it's being taken care of. You can settle down with the itch.
Gotcha.
Right? I think the problem is that neurologically or neurochemically, when you scratch an itch, you're activating those pain receptors in the area, pain pressure, that kind of thing. You're causing serotonin to be released.
Right.
Natural pain reliever, right?
Yeah.
Or at least mood enhancer. And what they found is that serotonin, among other neurochemicals, actually exacerbates the itch sensation. So your itch not only comes back, it gets worse.
Ah.
So you go to scratch it again, and then the same thing happens over and over again. That's the itch scratch cycle, which it's not the best cycle around.
No.
You can think of better cycles.
Not a bad band name. Yeah.
It's okay.
A little too cute.
Maybe Prague. Folk Prague?
They'd have to be German, probably.
German folk Prague. Okay. Yeah.
another interesting thing they learned too was that, I guess we're kind of jumping around, but who cares, right? If you scratch, you don't have to scratch the point of the itch to relieve it, apparently.
Right.
Like if I had that itch on my right, forearm, and I could scratch maybe, it doesn't have to be the left forearm, so it's not like you have to mirror it. But I could scratch like my neck, and apparently that might help relieve it.
Yeah, I tried it. It didn't work for me.
No.
No. But I think the reason why it's possible that it could have that effect is supposedly scratching also, activates like your pleasure center.
Yeah, bet it does.
But there's different places where you're scratching on your body, have different amounts of pleasure associated with them. Did you know that? I mean, I guess so, but.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, but I mean, think about it. It's like if you scratch your, like your clavicle, who cares? It's nothing, right? But then you scratch like your head, right? Above and behind your ear. It's great.
Well, and I think they did find that like, your back and your ankles supposedly mm-hmm. are some of the most rewarding places to scratch.
Exactly.
And I don't know. I've never really thought about the ankles, but, my mom would give me back scratches mm-hmm. when I was a kid.
That's nice.
And it was always like, one of my favorite things ever.
Sure.
And so I don't get those anymore now that I'm a grown up, because that's gross. <You know? laughs> Mom, scratch my back.
Right.
I'm 46 years old.
Lay down.
But yeah, it was like, I think I preferred a back scratch to a back rub even.
Oh yeah.
When I was younger, but now, you know, a massage is probably way better.
Sure.
But if a masseuse could include a little back scratch in there.
Yeah.
Get ready for a huge tip from me.
Yeah, I guess so.
Or does that, what? Is that sexual?
I think it crosses a line once they're potentially clawing away skin cells. I think that's it's no longer in the masseuse range or masseur range.
Yeah, I get that. Once skin cells are involved,
you know,
under the nails,
sure,
then you're a murder suspect.
Right, exactly.
All right, well, should we take another break?
Yeah.
And talk a little bit about one of the most distressing articles I've ever read? Mm-hmm.
All right, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. Because in Monopoly Go, you can team up with your friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. It's very nice.
That's right. And the more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock. And there's so much to get. I'm talking about unique stickers that you can trade with friends to complete albums for big prizes, cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with, or hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults.
Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges, like digging for treasure or a robot pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
That's right. There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it now for free on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
All right, so we've referenced this article from The New Yorker from Dr. Atul Gawande, and he talked a lot about itching and just had good information on the science of it all.
Well, that's what he does.
But most of the article was focused on a patient, a woman in Massachusetts, that they named M for the article.
Just M.
The letter M.
Right.
In other words, you know, she's anonymous. Yeah. And I think she was anonymous because she kind of had a rough go, after her divorce. She ended up getting HIV from, getting on heroin.
Uh-huh.
Kind of spun out, it seems like, but
That's
then
sad.
Got her life back, by all accounts, but ended up getting shingles as a result of HIV complications.
Right.
And the shingles went away, but the itching did not, to say the least.
Yeah, I think the itching came after the shingles even. And at first her physicians were like, well, I mean, you must have, you damaged some nerves in there. So TS for you, I guess.
Yeah.
And then eventually, after treating it like all these different ways and it's still being scratching, they said, okay, you're crazy. How about that?
Right.
And she said, well, whatever. I still have this itch. Do whatever you need to treat it, because I'm literally scratching this itch in my sleep. It was on her scalp, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was on her head, and she she kind of managed to control it during the day. But like you said, at night, she couldn't control it.
Right.
To the point where I think she was like restrained in her sleep.
That came after.
Oh, okay. After they realized it's a problem because your brain is oozing out of your head.
Yeah.
Can you believe that?
She scratched her scalp so much that she scratched through her skull. And she went into her doctor one day and said, they've got like this green fluid coming down. And then apparently
the doctor fainted.
The doctor didn't even say anything. He was just, she or she was like, excuse me, went and called an ambulance and came back and said, please lay down and don't talk or move or do anything else. And they finally told her after she was at the ER, you scratched through to your brain. Like that's your brain you're touching right now.
The doctor's like, very interesting. Yeah. Just give me a second here.
please.
Oh my God. Well, they gathered up all the other doctors and nurses. And was like,
sure.
Yeah. You got to come see this.
She said also in this article, she said that she had a roommate at a, yeah. A roommate.
Yeah.
So, she had a roommate while she was like, they treated it, gave her a skin graft. And then she scratched away the skin graft.
Oh man.
And then, they finally were like, okay, you're going to an asylum. And she's like, do they even call it that anymore? And they're like, just shut up.
Yeah.
And they put her in this asylum and restrained her, like you said, while she was sleeping. Crazy. And she had a roommate in there. She said in the article, she didn't survive. He had scratched through his carotid artery and died, bled death.
Yeah.
So. They never really got to the bottom of this. She finally got a doctor. Like the doctors are like, it's something that had to do with the shingles. This is what we think happened, said her doctors, that the nerve endings around the area where she had shingles were so devastated by the shingles that there were just a couple of nerve endings left. And it just so happened that they were itch receptors. Itch receptors.
Bad luck.
And that those were like really exacerbated by the fact that there was no other competing sensations.
Oh.
Ipso facto, there's your problem, right? So they said, well, we'll just cut the main nerve to your face and that should solve the problem. They cut the main nerve to her face and,
she said, thanks a lot.
Yeah. And then the itch came back. And she's like, you have to be kidding me. So finally she met a doctor who said, I don't think it's your receptors or the nerve transmission. I think it's your brain.
Yeah.
Not psychologically. I don't think it's a psychosis. I think there's that the actual itch signal in your brain is being set off without any stimulation or transmission going on.
Yeah.
And, apparently she was right. They were like, good luck treating that.
Right.
You know?
I didn't see much follow-up on this. I did read one article that a follow-up with Dr. Gawande, because there were a lot of skeptics after that article came out that said, it's impossible with your fingernail, because she said she didn't use an implement. It's not like she got out a metal file.
Right.
To scratch through your skull.
Right.
And he said that his theory was that bacteria, it became infected, had eaten it away such that the skull became soft.
Turned it to mush?
Yeah.
Yuck.
And then people also said, you know, you don't have men and women in the same room in hospitals or asylums. That's false. And he said, that it was like the room next door. And quit being pedantic.
Yeah, really? Man.
I think people just didn't believe it. So all these folks wrote into the New Yorker.
So
coastal elites.
Right.
Said no way.
They said a tool. Come on. So the idea though that even if this woman was hypothetical, I think a tool Gawande is a pretty upstanding cat. And didn't make this up. But even if, say she was hypothetical, her problem, what the doctors initially thought it was that she had a neuropathic itch, type of chronic itch. But then the doctor who apparently figured it all out said, no, it's a neurogenic itch, another type of chronic itch. And it has to do with whether it's the brain going off or the nerve transmissions going off. Either way, you don't actually have an itch. Although you're experiencing the itch sensation.
Well, and they also then said at some point she had a psychogenic itch.
Right.
So they basically covered three out of the four kinds of itches. The last one being, I have such a hard time. Pruriceptive. And that's what you get from like a mosquito bite.
Yeah.
Or if you have a skin disorder like eczema or something.
Sure.
So they basically ruled out the most common one. and at various stages said, eh, you've got this other one
right
for the other three.
Right. Finally. And then again, they said, we don't, there's really nothing we can do to treat it. The one that they've got down pretty well is proroceptive.
Yeah,
we've got
easy.
All sorts of stuff to treat that because that's basically histamine is being released and your skin is itching. So you can treat histamines with antihistamines.
Yeah.
You can reduce that response and then your itch will go away.
Well, I took Benadryl at night and they also make this Benadryl spray, a topical spray that just, it really helps.
Right.
So between that and cortisone and then the Benadryl at night, I did okay.
Right.
And those awesome showers.
So the, like the proroceptive itch, we've got treatment for basically.
Yeah.
The other three, you're in trouble. It turns out as far as it stands right now, maybe 5 or 10 years from now, there'll be something. Apparently there is a lot of movement right now on treating this stuff, but it's like they're having to figure out how to block some really otherwise important chemicals in the body. Like that NPPB, right?
Yeah, that one, what is it, can help regulate your blood pressure as well?
Yeah, right. So
you
they
can't just switch that off.
Right.
Yeah.
Just turn off the gene that produces that.
You won't itch, but you might die early.
Right.
Not worth it.
Right.
The one that really, I mean, they're all sad, but the psychogenic, when you have a mental illness where you feel like you have parasites and bugs on your skin.
Hey, remember our Morgellons disease?
Yeah.
How did, you said it Morgellons, right? And I said Morgellons?
I can't remember. I know that I said it the way everyone else says it, though. Yeah. That's all I remember.
Morgellons. That's right. That's how I said it.
Man, but all this stuff, it just I had so much empathy for M.
Yeah.
And wanted a follow-up so bad to see how she was doing. You know?
Yeah.
And if she kept scratching holes in her skull.
I don't know.
Jeez.
So I read another article called Accidental Therapists.
Uh-huh.
It's by a guy named Eric Brudman, and it was published on a website called STAT. And it's all about delusional parasitosis, but how it's treated sometimes by, entomologists. You know, like those, extension services at universities.
Yeah.
Here in the U.S., like state universities have what are called extension services where, a scientist will just basically be there for the public to come talk to about whatever. Usually it's like household stuff or farm stuff, something like that. And apparently entomologists frequently are approached with people who are like, I've got these bugs like crawling all over me. Here's a sample of them. And it turns out it's like carpet fiber or something like that. And these people just can't stop itching or whatever. But it turns out they have a delusion. They don't actually have parasites. My question is that our understanding of it now? And in 5 or 10 years, we're going to know that they had neurogenic itches and we just treated them like they were crazy, even though they weren't.
Yeah.
And it's going to be like a real blemish on the history of neuroscience.
Maybe.
Or will this idea of psychogenic itches, you know, hold up?
Yeah.
I wonder.
Did you ever see the Todd Haynes movie Safe with Julianne Moore?
No.
It was one of his first movies after the Karen Carpenter thing he did, that wasn't like, I mean, it was a real movie, but it wasn't released. But Safe was very disturbing. It was about a woman who kind of slowly drifted into madness from, believing that the world was poisoning her.
Wow.
And like household chemicals and everything. And it kind of started slow. And eventually she ended up at this kind of safe camp for people like her.
Right.
Very distressing movie. And one of her first movies too.
I'll have to check it out.
Yeah, it's really good.
Oh, it's old?
Yeah, it was early 90s, I think.
I know what you're talking about. No, it's called The Road to Wellville. Is that what you mean?
No, it's called Safe.
Okay, I'll check it out.
Yeah, it's good. Very distressing.
I'm trying to think of anything.
And that wasn't necessarily itching, but it was just like that psychogenic thing of like, I think everything in my house is killing me.
Yeah. I mean, have you ever like stopped and thought about something and thought there's the path to madness right there. I'm staring down it right now. I should probably not keep thinking about this.
I don't really get like that.
Oh, no.
No, I'm very easily kind of led on to the next shiny thing.
I guess. Oh, look, a bird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Basically.
That's probably for the best.
It is. It has its drawbacks though. What else you got? Well, one thing it says in here is that, having someone else scratch your itch apparently does not do the trick. So you have to scratch your own itch.
Yeah. I mean, somebody can. Like, obviously, like, you know, if you're like, a little left, up, up, up.
Yeah, see, I don't know if I agree with that.
Oh, man.
Not you, them saying.
Oh, right.
Like, I think it definitely helps.
I think what they're saying is it doesn't have quite the same relieving properties as if you do it yourself.
Oh, yeah. And if you could reach that area of your back, it would be better than that.
Yeah, I guess so.
I got a pretty good back scratcher now, though.
Oh, yeah? What's it made of? Bamboo?
No, it's metal. But it's telescoping, so it's not, you know, 2 feet long.
Gotcha.
But it can be.
But it's metal?
Yeah, it looks like a...
Like, what are the
A
parts?
Bear claw. Not the pastry, but a real bear claw. Which actually looks like the pastry.
Yeah, I guess it does.
That's why they call it that.
I never thought about that.
Why'd you think that was called that?
I'm just kidding.
They actually should call it a bear paw. It looks more like a bear paw
than a
bear
claw. I guess it does.
I'm going to try and bring that around.
Unless you get somebody who like really goes the extra mile and puts almonds on the tips to make it look like the claw.
Yes. And not just haphazardly scattered about the bear paw.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's the difference between a baker who loves their job and one who's just in it for the money.
Yeah.
Couple more things, Charles. Like we said, there's still plenty of mysteries around itches.
Yeah.
Why, say, does a feather tickle sometimes but itch other times?
Uh-huh.
Big question. They don't know.
Right.
But I'd like to know.
Well, maybe the Germans will get active on this again.
Yeah.
They're the only ones who can solve it.
Only the Germans can save us. You got anything else?
No, I don't.
I don't either. Itching.
Nice work.
Thanks, man. Same to you.
Thank you. And you haven't scratched in a while, so.
No, I'm actually... I've been scratching the same spot and it's starting to get a little tender, so I'm stopping.
Man, there's nothing worse in a movie. And I've seen this, I feel like I've seen this a few times in movies where someone is compulsively like scratching until it becomes a sore. Uh-huh. And then they're scratching it. It's just like, ugh. I
through
can't
their
watch
brain?
That. Well, yeah.
So I guess the moral of this one is, what would Tom Petty do?
I'll ask him tomorrow.
If you want to know more about itching or what Tom Petty would do, you can type those words in the search bar at howstuffworks.com. And since I said search bar, it's time for listener mail.
I'm going to call this one of the many emails we got on the swearing episode. Did you notice that? People really seemed to like that one.
Yeah, they did.
Got a lot of response.
Yeah.
Mostly from fellow potty mouths. Mm-hmm. Which were very filthy emails too, which were great.
Yeah.
And I responded in turn by cursing at them.
Sure.
In my replies.
Sure.
Which I hope they enjoyed.
In all caps?
No. I didn't want to be too aggressive. So this is from Emily Allen. Hey guys, longtime listener. First time writing in. Writing about swearing, I should start by saying that it's funny I'm writing about this episode because I almost never curse. And when I do, it's normally not a very offensive swear. However, your intro made me think of something interesting I wanted to share. You talked about how you really censor yourself during recording in order to keep your show family friendly. It got me thinking about how our jobs really shape our vocabulary, how we express ourselves. I noticed a major change in the way I speak since becoming a teacher. I primarily teach kindergarten to second grade students, and I found this really changed the way I express myself. For example, I try to avoid even saying things are dumb or stupid around kids. We'll often say, well, isn't that silly, instead. This works in the classroom, but I often get laughs from friends and family when I refer to a situation as silly, like a disagreement with a colleague or something a politician does. There are other expressions I use with the kids that often slip into regular conversation as well. The most embarrassing, when I'm out and excuse myself to go potty. That always gets a laugh. Anyway, just wanted to share and thank you for all the great work you do. I learned so much from listening each week. And I'm always excited to see the new episode offerings every Tuesday and Thursday. That is from Emily Allen.
Thank you, Ms. Allen.
Very silly.
That was a very nice email.
Yeah.
If you want to get in touch with us like Ms. Allen did, you can tweet to us at SYSK Podcast or Josh Clark. You can hang out with us on Facebook.com/StuffYouShouldKnow or /CharlesWChuckBryant. You can send us an email at stuffpodcast@howstuffworks.com. And as always, join us at our home on the web, stuffyoushouldknow.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, if you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon as low as $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. Use promo code STUFF20 to receive $20 off your first month for listening to this podcast. Switch now at visible.com. For data management practices and additional terms, visit visible.com. The Visible monthly rate is $25 per month.
In business, first impressions are everything. And that's why every business owner needs to know about Ruby. Ruby is the virtual receptionist company who screens, transfers, and takes messages 24/7, all while making your customers feel special. You definitely don't want to hire a subpar front desk person. And with Ruby, they engage with your callers in a conversational way, just like your best employee would. Never miss another customer call again. This year, make your business the best it can be. Visit ruby.com today. Or just call them at 844-900-RUBY.